Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, I'm gonna open up the phone lines briefly on this topic that I went over in the last hour, and we'll kind of review it here. 436-7900, just because I do think that we're in a period right now where this is going to happen more often. You're going to see more reactions like this. And again, I feel like I have to say, look, I'm not arguing that what the guy posted on Facebook was right. I'm saying that is the response appropriate, I guess, is what it is. So here, just in case you just tuned in here, there's a guy that provided pork. He's a local farmer. Don Geistert, Geistert Farms, Washington, Missouri, has provided local pork to some of these chefs, in great chefs like Kevin Nashon and others, Bailey's Range, some of the other restaurants. And he put something on Facebook that said, and it was a picture, it was a repost from somewhere else. This is why you should probably stay off Facebook, by the way, just so you know. There's some lessons here. Some group called Second Amendment Americans, and there's a picture of white men, farmers, on a trailer with a bunch of hay, loading up the hay, and then the caption is, if they did this during the day, they wouldn't do this at night. And then the bottom picture has African Americans who are looting. So the Bailey's Range folks posted, we've immediately stopped doing business with Todd Geistert. It hurts a lot to find out that someone you've been supporting and promoting for years has racism in their heart and would post something so hurtful. Now, he responds, and he has asked for forgiveness. He said in a phone interview with the Post he doesn't consider himself a racist person. I don't know him. I don't know whether he is or not, but I think that we are at this point sort of, and we're going to get into this a little bit more with the Drew Brees situation at the bottom of the hour. There's no room for an apology anywhere in our culture on this issue in particular. I think it goes beyond that, but certainly on this issue, there's no fine line at all. I mean, if you cross it, you're done. And it's okay for businesses to say, hey, we're not going to do business with you. That's our personal choice. But now it's out in the media. It's going to become probably national news. You know, if there's an opportunity, I only say opportunity because if there's a window, it will be. But sometimes the news cycle goes in other directions. And the guy probably faces retribution. Hopefully not physical. Let's go to the phones. 436-7900. Cindy, you're on KMOX. Good afternoon.
Mark, how are you?
I'm good.
You know, I was just talking to my husband. You can't, if you don't agree with things, you can't, as, and I'm a white person, and I'm not trying to be, get the colors mixed up, but you can't say anything or do anything because you're looked at so wrong. And we all have our opinions, and we're entitled to a voice, our opinions, but nobody has any, you can't do that anymore. You just said that. You can't do that anymore. I think I won't ever go to any of Bailey's restaurants again just because I think he overblew it. That man probably shouldn't have done what he did, but we're trying to save businesses, not run them out of business. I'm like totally
well, and this isn't only, and this is what happens with things like this. This isn't only going to cost him business. It's going to affect his entire life. Now, there are going to be people out there that are going to argue, well, he deserves it. He's a racist. And he exposed that in his meme. I think the meme is a little bit more marginal than some of the other ones out there. I understand what he was trying to say. Not defending it. Got to be careful. But I like to keep my job. But the reaction is what concerns me as well. Jeff, thanks for calling, Cindy. I appreciate it. Jeff, you're on KMOX.
Yes, once again, as usual, you guys missed the mark. Let me understand what you're saying. You understand what he's trying to say. I know what he didn't say. He didn't state the fact that it was more than black people looting. Was it any black people in this, any other people in this picture? No, that's a message to everybody who white under Trump who thinks like him, saying, as usual, look at the black people stealing. He should have put white, yeah, black, everybody, and sent a message, period, to the country, to the world, that looting, yeah, is wrong. If more people work and not loot, then this would be all right. But as usual, that's dog whistling to look at those black people loot. It's wrong.
Well,
you guys do that under Trump all the time. Now, to take it another step further, go back to when Trayvon Martin, when Barack Obama said, if I had a son, he would have looked like him. This man by you and everybody else was accused of what? Race dividing the country. Look how much Trump has did since this. Way more than that statement. Put the dogs on him. Not one of you have accused him of dividing this country. You even accused Barack of having open season on the police. And you can't play not one negative statement that he has ever said about a police officer. I challenge you to play it where he has made it was open season on the police and haven't gave
Did I say that? Jeff, look, I understand you're angry and you're passionate, and I want to hear what you have to say. I don't believe I ever said anything along those lines. Let me ask this question, though, out of fairness. I get your perspective about the posts in the picture. And I'll be honest with you, though, here's one thing I will tell you. The first time I looked at the picture, I couldn't tell whether there were black people or white people on the trailer. But there are white people, all right, to your point. Do you think, you're just going to have to be honest, and I'll accept your answer. Do you think that this guy's life should be ruined over that?
Well, I haven't seen the picture. If the picture is got a picture full of black people looting, yes, I have no forgiveness in my heart for him. But that's the problem.
Okay.
You got people in higher who's in control that's putting that out, like Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, who did nothing but criticize Obama, who did nothing. They're the ones who spread the stuff. But when you got it, you know, you just can't keep doing it. You can't.
Yeah, well, you're kind of off it. You're off on another tangent here. I was asking a question about this particular story. If you want to talk about whether the president is dividing or, you know, bringing people together, I don't think there's any debate there. I think that there's a lot of division, and we're seeing even more of that right now. So I have criticized the president. I criticized him for what happened at the church the other night. And I think that what Mad Dog Mattis said today, we haven't even gotten into that, but what Mad Dog Mattis said today, and he's being ripped, of course, by the president. The thing that's always confused me about the cult, the people who support the president at all costs, is I was told 4 years ago that when I questioned his ability to be president, well, he's going to hire the best people. So then he hires Mad Dog Mattis. He's the best guy. He's the best guy for the job. Well, now he sucks because he said something against the president. So, you know, these things go back and forth, but I understand your perspective, and you're going to be in the majority right now, I think, when it comes to these things. I think most people aren't going to be willing to chime in. So at least I thought I'd toss it out there. Let me get to a little audio that I hadn't got to earlier in the show. Let's go to Dave. Let's do Rudy and Piers here because I'm no Piers Morgan fan. I was pretty happy when he got run out of CNN because I thought he was an idiot. He does have a gig overseas in his homeland in London, and he had Rudy Giuliani on. Now, again, I think Rudy Giuliani is a guy that a lot of us thought very highly of in the past, and he sort of lost his luster to a certain extent over the past couple of years, and he just sounds bizarro here. So here he is with Piers Morgan.
I'm sorry, but
the interview is over as far as I'm concerned.
You sound completely barking mad. Do you know that?
No, I don't.
You've lost the plot.
Like a big liar.
You've lost the plot, and it's sad to see.
You're the one who got thrown off the television here.
Yeah.
You had ratings that were about 2.
Yeah.
So don't tell me I've lost anything.
You keep going, Rudy.
I know what happened to your show, Piers.
Yeah.
And I remember the mistakes you made.
I
remember how you up.
Yeah, well, I remember.
So don't give me that stuff. I know who you are.
Well, we'd like
you
to apologize.
You can say anything you want about me.
We'd like to apologize
but
for the language you just
used. You're defaming my president, and you are helping to create violence in this country with the way you're covering this.
When I used to interview you, you were an intelligent, reasonable man, and you've gone completely mad, and you sound deranged.
You're
abusive,
saying that because
it's really sad to see what's happened to you.
It was really sad to see the way your career imploded in the United States, Piers.
Yeah.
If you think I have any respect for you after this, well, maybe you don't care.
Well,
but
okay.
Everyone in America knows you're a failed journalist.
Well, he's kind of failed. I mean, I have no sympathy or empathy for Piers Morgan because he's said a lot of stupid things. Although that's in a weird way, Dave, you might be able to even verify this because Dave's the guy who kind of pulls the audio and I send him this. Over the years, you know, we would rip on Piers many years ago quite a bit, but every once in a while he weighs in now and he actually makes sense. And I think he handled himself pretty well there with Rudy Giuliani. Even Giuliani, if you looked at him in that interview or you heard him, he sounded pretty weird. All right, so we got a couple of things coming up here. Raby's going to come on at 3:30 to do a Raby rant. I do want to focus on the Drew Brees situation. That sort of falls in line with this local farmer that shared the racist, deemed racist Facebook post. That's another thing these days that I think is interesting in journalism. You have the Post-Dispatch headline, St. Louis chefs condemn local farmer for sharing racist meme. It's not even what some people claim to be racist. It's just declared racist anymore. So the journalists don't even make any effort there. By the way, there's something else, and I posted this earlier. There's a guy, I think he's with Sports Illustrated or something like that, Ben Fisher. Let's see. He covers the NFL and the Olympics for SBJ SBD. I have no idea what that is. But he posted, by my count, every NFL team social media account has addressed the protests against police brutality to one extent or the other, except two, the Bengals and the Cowboys. That's journalism in 2020. Who knows what the Bengals and the Cowboys have done when it comes to police brutality or protests addressing them internally, and you have to post something? I even went to the Apple Facebook page yesterday because that's sort of my homepage on my computer. You do it right now. And usually you get a sales, you know, slide that comes up. The iPhone SE, it's only $399. But now, speaking up on racism, and there's a whole mantra here from, you know, Apple on racism, because you got to do it. I'm not saying it's insincere. I'm not even saying that it's inappropriate. But at this point, if you don't check the box, I think people are just going to freak out, right? Checking the box isn't going to change anything in this country. We've checked the box for a long time. So I keep looking for answers. Nobody really has those. We'll take a break. We'll come back in into a different direction here, and we'll get into the Drew Brees stuff and some of that at the bottom of the hour with Chris, as I mentioned. But what's going to happen when it comes to childcare this fall if we get a second wave or if we can't get back on track? Lynette Fraga is the CEO of a group called Childcare Aware of America. She joins me next on KMOX.
Congratulations from CBS News Radio to the voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120 KMOX, winner of three 2020 Edward R. Murrow Awards for Excellence. You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon KMOX.
3:22 at the Voice of St. Louis. We'll cover the Drew Brees comments and the apology and the reaction. Tony Dungy weighed in a way that is rare. I always like Tony Dungy. We need more Tony Dungys out there. And I'll play the former Tampa Bay coach, and he's still an NFL analyst, comments when we get into that at the bottom of the hour here a little bit later this afternoon. Audio cut of the day before the end of the hour as well, right into Total Information PM. Lynette Fraga is with me. You know, I have a five-year-old, as many of you know, and there are a lot of parents out there wondering what's going to happen as we try to get back on track, and they've been doing a lot of schoolwork at home. She's the CEO of Childcare Aware of America. Hey, Lynette, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I've been so lucky, my wife and I, throughout this whole crisis, because I have a little five-year-old. I have older kids, too. My audience is aware of that. But I have a five-year-old who's about to start kindergarten, but her daycare has remained open. And I'm working at home. My wife is working at home. I know a lot of parents have not had that luxury. And it's a big crisis. And there's so many questions about what's going to happen this fall. And I know that that's what you're focusing on right now.
Absolutely right. There are about 23 million children in the United States under the age of six, and about 15 million of them may need childcare. So just like your child at five, many other parents out there are also seeking childcare. And it is tough as parents are looking at communities reopening and childcare. Is it going to be available? Because without childcare, there's no recovery.
I had a comment. I actually went over and saw my producer, Dave Klein, who's sitting back in the studio listening to us right now, and his wife's a teacher. And, you know, I think a lot of parents are facing these questions right now. Nobody really knows the answers because the school districts haven't made the final calls and the daycares aren't exactly sure what's going on. So the uneasiness here as we start this month of June is certainly palpable because parents aren't sure what to do. So if I had a daughter, for example, who's starting kindergarten and could not be in school, I'm not exactly sure what I would do outside of maybe hiring someone to help out with some, you know, some schooling, virtual schooling. So what are parents to do here moving forward?
It has been a really tough time for both parents and child care providers. And I would say the first thing that parents really need to focus on, and frankly, us as all communities, we need to focus on the fact that we need support and funding as communities, as parents, as providers, and Congress has to provide at least $50 billion in funding that will allow child care programs to weather not only the current public health crisis, but also the economic crisis. And to your point, parents are wondering, what do I do? And they know, frankly, that this is a real challenge. Many Americans agree across the United States. We partnered as Child Care Aware of America with Save the Children Action Network and did a poll and found that actually 4 in 5 voters actually support the child care industry receiving targeted financial assistance as a result of the impact of COVID-19. And that's because parents are seeking childcare and they know and understand the challenges prior to the pandemic. And we know it's just going to get rougher as we move through recovery.
So how would you target that in a way that the money actually helps these child care providers? Because look, we're getting in, and I think a lot of us were in the situation a couple of months ago where we're like, yeah, get the money out. We know there's going to be mistakes made. There's going to be money that's wasted, but we'll figure it out because of the urgency, or at least it was explained, the urgency of the crisis. Now, in this situation, I think there's going to be a little bit more money on how this money might be spent. So how can you do this effectively, target, make sure, and are we talking strictly making sure daycare stay open?
So it's both, actually. To your point of earlier, we have some childcare providers who have actually stayed open through the pandemic, which has been such full of gratitude, many parents are, that they did remain open and needed that care. But there were also changes that were made. There needed to be protective equipment available, sanitation equipment, smaller group sizes, higher adult-child ratios, different physical environments, obviously the sanitizing and so forth that's really needed, additional training. Spaces may have changed where care was provided. All of that has an impact on how expensive care is. So the support needed was not only around, I'm a small business and I might have to close because of the impact of the pandemic, but also, even if I'm open, the calculus doesn't work from a business model perspective. I don't have enough money to keep my lights on. And that was a real challenge. So both situations are challenging. And as we look at reopening now, providers who are spending more to keep their doors open, parents are looking at, gosh, this might be more expensive. And those providers who are trying to weather the pandemic and the economic crisis parents need, those gaps need to be filled. And so that's what we're really looking at. The sanitizing equipment, the business support, the infrastructure supports that are really needed, not only for today, but we've got to get this right for the fall, too, just in case we see another wave.
Well, that's why, yeah, it's very important because of that. Lynette Fraga, who's the CEO of Child Care Aware of America, do you have, you know, we hear this about restaurants, and I think that you just have to use common sense. A good portion of these restaurants, I don't know what the percentage, 20, 25%, probably won't reopen. Do you have any kind of studies from daycares across the country that might have to shut down, or is that still sort of in flux because we don't know where we're heading with this?
It absolutely is in flux. We don't know where we're heading. There are so many unanswered questions. And we have been trying to keep our finger on the pulse across the country of providers' expectations. Very early on, many providers shared, majority of providers shared, they didn't know if they were going to last a couple of weeks. Some of them have been able to access support, supports, and some of them have not been as successful in accessing supports. Some of it obviously has been longer than a couple of weeks that we've had to weather this pandemic. So we are extremely concerned that there could be upwards of 50% of childcare providers across the United States who may have to close their door as a result of both the pandemic and the economic crisis as a result. So there could be a tremendous impact when we really see the childcare system being decimated.
Yeah, and I don't know what the answer is for that. You know, outside of what you're talking about right now, to keep things going, but that's not going to necessarily solve the answer down the line of the lack of resources for parents. I mean, the figure is what, 76% of mothers, 96% of fathers with children under the age of 6 work full-time jobs. That was at least true
exactly
a couple of months
right.
ago. Lynette, thanks for coming on. Keep us posted on this. I know it's something that's going to possibly stay in the forefront for a while, especially with unknown answers. Lynette Fraga, the CEO of Child Care Aware of America. I appreciate you coming on here in St. Louis.
Thank you so very much.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, little Uncle Ted. Thank you for that, Dave Klein. 337, Chris Raby's here for a Raby rant. How are you, sir?
Doing great. What's going on?
Well, let's get right into it because I just found another story that I think we're going to want to chime in on here this afternoon involving Buffalo Bills rookie quarterback Jake Fromm. But let's get into the Drew Brees stuff. And first and foremost, the comments yesterday. So he does an interview. Let's roll this audio with Yahoo Finance. And he talks about, you know, refers back to the Colin Kaepernick incident. And this blew up after these comments. Here's the original comments.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place.
So that goes viral. You have, Dave, let's play Malcolm Jenkins. He weighs in here, and it's a teammate, longtime teammate. They won a Super Bowl together.
Unfortunately, you're somebody who doesn't understand their privilege. You don't understand the potential that you have to actually be an advocate for the people that you call brothers. You don't understand the history and why people like me, people with my skin color, whose grandfather fought for this country, who served, and I still protested against that, not against the national anthem, but against what was happening in America and what the fabric of this country is for or stands for. If you don't understand that other people experience something totally different than you, then when you talk about being the brotherhood and all this other it's just lip service.
All right, well, that's not going to end well, it doesn't sound like. So here's the apology. In an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we're facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful and have misled people into believing that somehow I am an enemy. This could not be further from the truth. It's not an accurate reflection of my heart and my character. Drew Brees is a very popular guy in the NFL. He certainly is a hero in New Orleans. I do think that he may not be a victim of the cancel culture. Well, that's what I mean. So my question is, does the apology actually work here for Drew Brees?
Well, I don't know. I'll give him at least a check mark for coming up with what seems like a very heartfelt apology and actually apologizing, you know, and doing that swiftly, having that out this morning, rather than what we see sometimes. I'm sorry if I offended you for this or that, but I mean, his comments were, I think, completely tone deaf, unbelievably and inexplicably tone deaf. And
well, you and I are going to have to disagree on that,
sure.
Because I understand, and maybe that's the accurate, maybe that is right, just because of the given circumstances.
Well, and I was going to say, let me tell you. Well, let me tell you, if we're going to disagree, why I feel that way, because Drew Brees, who has been not only a quarterback and a Super Bowl winning quarterback on an NFL team now that is a league that is, you know, in large part African American, in a city that is in large part African American, and dealt with a horrible disaster that affected in large part the African American community, should know better than anyone, Mark, that you can't throw a blanket over the way that people experience things. And the reason why I think it's tone deaf is because Brees himself yesterday made an assumption and presented an assumption that everyone who, for instance, in the NFL takes a knee is doing it with the motivation to disrespect the American flag. That's the whole point of the discourse we're trying to get to. It's not about disrespecting the American flag. Listen to the Green Beret, Nate Boyer, who convinced Colin Kaepernick to originally do this. It's about police brutality. And that's what we've been focused on. That's what I think we need to talk about.
Well,
and Brees' issue was that he made the unequivocal statement that if you take a knee, you are disrespecting his grandparents, you are disrespecting the flag, you are disrespecting the country.
So Drew Brees can't have his opinion, just to be clear. I just want to make that
clear. Sure he can, but I'm saying that I think he was completely tone deaf, and I agree with most of the response from his peers and professional athletes who swiftly took to social media to raise their concerns. I'm not saying he shouldn't have said it. I never said that. I just said completely tone deaf. And what he said yesterday kind of, I think, sums up why so many people are banging their heads against the wall as we try to get any type of discourse started.
Well, let me play what Tony Dungy said, because he tends to be a bit of a voice of reason in circumstances. Look, I don't want to argue about whether or not it was tone deaf,
but
because maybe
you
it was,
said that
Chris,
we were going to disagree. So do you think?
Well,
it
we do
was
disagree because I think here's what I'm upset about. I just talked about this guy who, you know, the farmer in Washington and Bailey's Range decides that this Facebook post is racist, and they don't only sever ties with the guy, they bring it to a Facebook, you know, post themselves. They make it public. This guy is done. So Drew Brees, should we cancel Drew Brees, or should
I
we accept
never
his
said
apology?
We should cancel him, Mark. I never said that. I said his comments were completely and inexplicably tone deaf, and you said we disagree.
Right. We do disagree. Here's Tony Dungy.
And we have to have Drew Brees saying what he said. I don't downgrade Drew for that, okay? That's what he said. He may not totally understand. It may have been not exactly the way he wanted to express it, but he can't be afraid to say that. And we can't be afraid to say, okay, Drew, I don't agree with you, but let's talk about this, and let's sit down and talk about it. We can't just say anytime something happens that we don't agree with, hey, I'm done with that, and I'm done with this person, and that doesn't make sense. We have to be better than that. This battle is not going to be won by demonstrating and throwing bricks through windows. It's not going to be won by the government saying, hey, we're going to bring out these weapons and dominate the streets again. That is not going to fix anything.
Look, in my mind, and you and I can disagree on this, but I have zero respect for Colin Kaepernick, and he is automatically disqualified from having any opinion on these things because of his love for the Castro regime. And I've made that clear in the past. You can't talk about oppression and human rights violations in this country,
okay,
and support one of the biggest human rights violators and regimes on the planet. That doesn't work for me. So
but,
he's
disqualified. But he's out of the league. Okay, so how about another NFL player? Okay, that's fine. That's neither here nor there. How about another NFL player who decides to take a knee during the national anthem because they are doing it in an effort to protest police brutality and racial inequality? It has nothing to do with the flag. And you know what? Maybe it's a good thing that Drew Brees said these things yesterday and got immediately destroyed by his peers in professional sports, because he's going to have to walk into that locker room and he's going to have to face, you know, the other 52 guys on that football team, and he's going to have to at some point answer to them. So if that advances the discourse, then maybe it's a step backwards before you can take a step forward. But Mark, I'm not saying people should not be allowed freedom of speech. Of course not. I'm not saying
but
that Drew Brees should be
acting,
canceled. I'm saying his comments,
like
his comments were tone deaf and they missed the mark. They assumed a motivation for why someone would take a knee before an NFL game. Is that fair?
I suppose so. But
they assume that if you take a knee, you are disrespecting his grandparents. You are disrespecting veterans.
Colin Kaepernick did. Yes, that's because, in my opinion, Colin Kaepernick did. And he cannot offer his opinion on oppression in this country if he supports. Well,
he's
he did,
not.
And now everyone's
Malcolm
coming
Jenkins,
back to this notion.
Who has family?
Everyone's coming
more
back to this notion that Colin Kaepernick was right. No, not going to have that conversation.
No,
sorry.
I did not say he's right. That's what the knee means. It doesn't. It is connected to police brutality. It's not connected to the American flag. It's not protesting the American flag or protesting our liberties in this great country or protesting any of the rights we have.
In Colin Kaepernick's instance, I disagree with that because of the whole context of who he's about.
But Mark,
we'll
he hasn't been in the NFL for years. So when, and let's say Malcolm Jenkins takes a knee this year before the Saints' first game, that has nothing to do with Colin Kaepernick. Maybe Kaepernick and Nate Boyer were the ones that brought this to attention, but Malcolm Jenkins is making a decision, okay, as Drew Brees did, to speak his mind, to demonstrate his opinion.
One of my positions in the past, even going back to this whole blow-up originally with Colin Kaepernick, and I'll stick to this right now since you're asking me about Malcolm Jenkins, is, you know what I want to see on Sundays from NFL players? I want to see them play the game. They want to do something on their own time. They want to take part in whatever they're free to do it. But you know what? That also disrupts.
Well, I agree with that. They should just get rid. They shouldn't have the national anthem with the players on the field. College football, they're in the locker room.
College football doesn't. Right. Yeah. They are in the locker room. All right, listen to this.
Hang on. Quickly, the next time you're at Busch Stadium, when there's a guy walking his rear end up to get nachos or looking at his cell phone during the national anthem, I hope everyone that's so wildly offended right now is yelling at them to stop disrespecting the flag, because I've seen a lot of things that are much more disrespectful, and I'm at hundreds of professional events a year.
I wouldn't disagree with that. But
and oftentimes it's the guy getting the nachos who's mad at Colin Kaepernick.
Jake Fromm is the Buffalo Bills rookie quarterback, and all of a sudden somebody released a text conversation from years ago. It was 2019. Okay, so it was last year. It was posted to Twitter. This is a friend and Jake Fromm discussing guns. Fromm writes, "But guns are good. They need to let me get suppressors." And then he added, "Just make them very expensive so only elite white people can get them. Ha ha." Later in the conversation, he claimed he was not an elite white person, and now he's apologized. He says, "I'm extremely sorry that I chose to use the words elite white person in a text message conversation," Fromm said in a statement posted to Twitter on Thursday afternoon. Cancel culture for Jake Fromm, or is an apology acceptable there?
I mean, it's cancel culture what I think is going to happen to him. Listen, I do not excuse or condone what he said, but man, you could look through all of our phones over the course of...
Oh, my God. Are you kidding
me? There
are
miserable, vile, terrible things. You could look at our text. Like, you can't make a joke. And again, Jake Fromm will have to answer to this, if he's still on the Bills or if he's still in the NFL. But, this is the kind of thing, like, this isn't even digging up an old tweet, because we see that. This is a text message with someone. And again, I'm not saying that it's a good thing, but I challenge anyone, again, to take out their phone, and if you combed through their text records to everyone in their phone, everyone they've texted, I think that you'd find some pretty gnarly skeletons in there.
All right. There's a good one today. We got into it, Raby. I like that. That's your Raby rant for this Thursday.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk at 4:15. 3:48 at the Voice of St. Louis. Traffic coming up next.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, St. Louis police officers arrested 36 people between Sunday and Tuesday, 25 of which arrested during riots that erupted, and they were all let back on the streets. We covered this yesterday. The Attorney General of the state, Eric Schmidt, weighed in, was outraged. A lot of people outraged. Kim Gardner, the circuit attorney who let those folks free, responded to the Attorney General today.
My response to the AG, I got work to do. I was accused of letting every single person go who the St. Louis Police Department arrested for looting and rioting. To be clear, as of right now, the police department brought to my office a group of 8 individuals involving stealing for prosecution. I've noticed that the attorney general is tweeting quite a bit about looters and rioters, and not about the fact that we have a history of police violence in the city and nation, and that has caused people to take to the streets yet again to demand for accountability. It is clear that he does not care about justice or safety or needs of this community. He just wants to launch a politically motivated attack against me, even if it means misleading and lying to the public. While the AG continues to fuel the division in the community at a time of great pain, suffering, and racial divide.
Yeah, let's keep in mind that this is the same circuit attorney that has refused to file charges in the killing of 7-year-old Xavier Sanga from last year. No charges still issued in that. The feds took it on, but she won't, claiming there's lack of evidence. It's ridiculous. She doesn't do her job. She's not doing her job. That's the whole point of all of this. There is an election coming up, believe it or not. 3:56 at the Voice of St. Louis.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.